All right, we're going to start our study again in the book of Nehemiah. Thank you again for this opportunity. I really appreciate the elders and appreciate Heath and Christy for the great hospitality. And looking forward to spending time with you all. I know we're going to have some time this afternoon and the rest of the week as well. So thank you so much. And for visitors that are here, thank you as well for being here. Passionate prayer. This past week, I was in Brooklyn, or I guess it's last week now, and studying with some preachers out there and preached Sunday morning. Saturday, we worshiped with songs, sermons, and prayers from about 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. It was fantastic. It was long, but it was fantastic. One of the preachers there mentioned passionate prayer. He talked about himself and his wife. They had been praying about a situation for about a year. And the exact situation was whether or not, you know, they should consider leaving the work that they were at and potentially moving out to Brooklyn. And they are there now. Their prayer was answered. And, you know, when he said that, it just really stuck with me, this idea of passionate prayer. And I asked him, I said, well, what's your new prayer? This prayer was answered by God. What's your new prayer? And he mentioned another situation in his family's life. And he had been praying about that same situation for about 6 months. And God opened up another door. And it was really good for me to hear things like that and to be reminded about our God in heaven. This idea of passionate prayer is what I want to talk about this morning. When we look at the book of Nehemiah, Nehemiah, I think, falls into this category of one who was passionate about prayer. And I'll explain exactly what that means. I do think it is important as I talk about this idea of passionate prayer that what it's not. I'm not talking about how long our prayers may be, whether they're 10 minutes or an hour or something like that. If you look at Nehemiah, he prayed for a long time in chapter 1, but then when he's standing before the king in chapter 2, I don't think he had that much time to pray, but yet he still is praying. So passionate prayer is not about the exact proper length of prayer, and it's not about saying the exact perfect words. Men sometimes get very nervous when we have to stand in front of a crowd and pray. What if my words are not eloquent? Or what if, you know, I stumble a little bit with my words? That's not what I'm talking about when I mention the idea of passionate prayer, nor is it some kind of show or anything like that as well. Nehemiah prayed, and it looks like he was often alone when he was praying, particularly in chapter 1. So what I want to talk about is this idea of Nehemiah and prayer. I think there's some valuable lessons for us as we think about passionate prayer and some qualities that Nehemiah had that certainly will help us in our lives as well. As you think about passionate prayer, number one, passionate prayer is personal. If you remember in Nehemiah chapter 1, again, he heard some news. He heard some bad news. And I want you to observe when Nehemiah is praying, what is provoking him to pray? One, he receives some bad news. What a great example for us. When we get bad news, what's the first response? What is our default mode? Is it to go to God in prayer? That's what Nehemiah is doing in chapter 1. He heard in verse 3 about the remnant there in the province who survived the captivity. They're in great distress and reproach, and the wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates are burned with fire. When I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned for days. There are times in our lives where everything just has to stop, and we need to go to God in prayer. And I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. I said, I beseech you, O Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God. Think about how he describes God, what he knows about God. He is great, he is awesome, who preserves the covenant and loving kindness for those who love him and keep his commandments. Let your ear now be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer of your servant. He had faith that God indeed would hear his prayers, which I am praying before you now, day and night, on behalf of the sons of Israel, your servants, confessing the sins of the sons of Israel, which we have sinned. You notice that? He's not just focused upon the Israelites, but he includes himself, which we have sinned against you. I and my father's house have sinned. We have acted very corruptly against you and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the ordinances which you commanded your servant Moses. Remember the word which you commanded your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the peoples. Nehemiah knew the word of God. He knew about what was said in the words of Moses. But if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, though those of you who have been scattered were in the most remote part of the heavens, I will gather them from there and will bring them to the place where I have chosen to cause my name to dwell. They are your servants and your people whom you redeemed by your great power and by your strong hand. O Lord, I beseech you, may your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and the prayer of your servants who delight to revere your name, and make your servant successful today and grant him compassion before this man. Indeed, his prayers were personal, acknowledging not just the sins of the people, but including himself as well. We know that in chapter 2, in verse number 4, when he goes before the king, King Artaxerxes, and the request is made, what would you request? I prayed to the God of heaven. He prays again. In chapter 4, as we just read a moment ago, in chapter 4, verses 4 and 5, the people are discouraged. And what does Nehemiah do? He prays again. This was a part of his life. And this is what passionate prayer, I believe, looks like. It's personal for Nehemiah. When certain things happened in his life, that's immediately what he did. That needs to be the response for us. Before we ever lay a brick in what we're trying to arise and build in our lives, it really always begins with us getting on our knees. We need to pray. And our prayers should be personal. Not only that, but our prayers should be persistent. I believe that's what passionate prayer is about as well. There's a big chunk of time between chapters 1 and 2. And it appears he's continuing to pray. There's a couple of months that have passed. It's the month Kislev in chapter 1 and verse number 1, and now the month Nisan in chapter 2 and verse number 1. And I believe Nehemiah would have continued to pray during this time. His prayer was not immediately answered after he heard that disturbing news. Time has passed. And yet, what does he do? He remained consistent. He remained persistent in his prayers. And there are so many other examples. I think about the Apostle Paul. Remember in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, if you turn over there in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul had a prayer and was pleading to God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 7, because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh. There's a lot of different views and thoughts about what the thorn in the flesh was, but nonetheless, he had some issue. It was a thorn in the flesh. And what he does, he goes to God in prayer. This thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. This is a serious problem for Paul, to keep him from exalting himself, to keep him humble. Concerning this, I implored the Lord 3 times that it might leave me. He was persistent in his prayers. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I would rather boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Nehemiah was persistent. Paul was persistent. I think about our Savior Jesus. His life was filled with prayer. Before he went to the cross in Luke chapter 22, when he's in the garden, he is persistent in his prayers to God. When he arrived in Luke chapter 22 and verse number 40, he arrived at the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw and knelt down and began to pray, saying, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. Now an angel from heaven appeared to him, strengthening him. And being in agony, he was praying very fervently. And his sweat became like drops of blood falling down from the ground. When he rose from prayer, he came to his disciples and found them sleeping from sorrow, and said to them, why are you sleeping? Get up and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The other Gospels show us he continues to make that same prayer request of removing this cup if possible, and yet God's will ultimately being done. Men like Nehemiah or Jesus or Paul or women like Hannah, they were people of prayer, people who were persistent in their prayers. When you go back to Nehemiah chapter 5 this time, in Nehemiah chapter 5, a recurring statement, and I believe it's a prayer, of Nehemiah in Nehemiah chapter 5 is when he goes to God at the end of chapter 5 in verse number 19. I want you to notice what he says here in Nehemiah chapter 5 and verse number 19. He says, "Remember me, O my God, for good, according to all that I have done for this people." It's a prayer that he rehearses numerous times. You look at chapter 13 and verse number 14. Chapter 13 and verse number 14, after Nehemiah had to confront evil and rebuke some individuals in Nehemiah 13 and verse number 14, he says, "Remember me for this, O my God, and do not blot out my loyal deeds, which I have performed for the house of my God and its services." In chapter 13 and verse number 22, "And I commanded the Levites that they should purify themselves and come as gatekeepers to sanctify the Sabbath day. For this also remember me, O my God, and have compassion on me according to the greatness of your loving kindness." And he ends the book in verse 31. After he arranged for the supply of wood at appointed times and for the first fruits, "Remember me, O my God, for good." He is certainly not taking God's name in vain when he says, "Oh my God." Rather, this shows certainly intimacy and closeness that Nehemiah had for God. He's pouring out his heart to God. Notice that he prays when there was bad news in chapter 1. He was persistent in prayer there. He prayed when he was fearful as he stood before the king in chapter 2 and verse number 4. He prayed, as we saw in chapter 4, when ridicule came upon him and the people. He prayed when good things happened, like in chapter 5, after he had to correct the Israelites who were charging interest on their own brethren. And he prayed again in chapter 6, when more enemy attacks came, when people were trying to lure him into a trap in chapter 6. Over and over, Nehemiah goes to God in prayer. He's persistent in every situation. And I believe that is what passionate prayer is all about. My question for you, and I'm included in this as well, how persistent are we in our prayers to God? Think about over the next couple of days, one area of your life, maybe it could be more, but if you just focus on one, or maybe you need to arise and build. There are things that need to be fixed, completed, corrected, changed. We must be praying to God if anything is going to change. We are going to have to be persistent. I think about the parable in Luke chapter 18 of the widow. Remember in Luke 18 and verse number 1? "Now he was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not lose heart." Sometimes we can get discouraged and lose heart. If God's timing isn't exactly the way that I want it, maybe prayer is not just as effective as I thought it was. That's not true. We need to be persistent in our prayers. This example of this woman was persistent with this judge over and over and over again. How much more should we be persistent in our prayers to God? And sometimes we can struggle with this, about this idea of consistency or being persistent. So a third element is needed as we think about passionate prayer. That's being patient. That's something that's really hard. We live in a fast-paced world. We're busy. We want immediate answers. We want immediate feedback. But patience is required if we're not going to lose heart and to continue to engage in passionate prayer. It will help us to persevere. And Nehemiah had both. He was persistent and he was very patient. And that points back to his faith. He knew God. He knew what God had done before. That's how we can be patient, brothers and sisters. Look at what God has already done. Look at what he's accomplished. Look at his miracles. Look at his power. Look at what he's already done in your own life. That will help us certainly to be patient. There's time that has passed between chapters 1 and chapter 2, as I already mentioned. It's a lot of time. There's a lot of time for him to have to travel almost 600 miles, if I'm correct with that, from Susa to Jerusalem as well. And then there's more time for him to examine the wall, the three nights to do that. Then there's another 52 days, but then there's even more after chapter 6. A lot of patience would be necessary. Nehemiah is going to be there for a long time, I believe 12 years. And through that, patience would be required. And there is a lot of prayer. What we see with this man, through it all, you go back to chapter 2 and verse number 20, he keeps pointing back to God. He keeps reminding the people, the God of heaven will give us success. That is where our success comes from. We do not have all the power. We don't have power really at all. We think we do. And then a storm comes and it changes everything in a matter of minutes. A delay in time did not hinder his trust in God. That should not hinder our trust in God. But it is difficult to be patient. But that is who we are called to be, including our prayers. It's not about our timeline. God will move when appropriate. Passionate prayer is personal. He's praying for himself. It's persistent. It's patient. It includes petitions. He's not only praying for himself, whether it's before the king or his sin, but he's also making petitions and intercession for the people. And I believe that's part of passionate prayer. An appeal to someone with reference to another person, or an intercession is an appeal on behalf of others. And when one intercedes, it can reflect a deep love and interest for the one who the intercession is being made. And that's what Nehemiah is doing. In fact, we're told to make petitions and to pray for our leaders. You go over to 1 Timothy chapter 2. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, Paul reminded Timothy about the prayers that he needed to be involved in, that the people of God needed to be involved in, and why as well. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, in verse number 1, Paul said, "First of all, then, I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men." There will never be a moment in our lives where we run out of something to pray for to God. If you're having a hard time figuring out, what should I pray for? I think I've got everything covered. There is always someone, something to pray for and about. For kings and all who are in authority. And he tells Timothy why, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. We are to intercede for one another, petition for rulers, and passionate prayers certainly involves petitions. His prayers, Nehemiah's prayers, they were personal, and he's asking for help. He's asking, he's concerned about God's people, and he's looking for God. He's turning to God to help him at this time. That's what we see in chapter 1, and that's what we see throughout the book as well. I think what this means, brothers and sisters, as we think about arising and building for our local congregations and families, we need to do the same. We need to take prayer seriously. Have you ever been in a situation like that? I can remember when I was at Dowland Road and a sister in Christ asked me, "Will you pray for me?" I said, "Yes, I will pray for you, sister." A couple of weeks later, she came back and she said, "Did you pray for me?" And I could either lie or be embarrassed. I had not prayed for her. I forgot. I said, "I'm so sorry. I said that I would pray for you. I didn't. You ever find yourself in a situation like that? We just kind of loosely say, "I'll pray for you. I'll keep you in my prayers." No, we need to take it seriously. We need to take the time to get on our knees or however we decide to pray, laying in bed, whatever it is, during the walk in the morning time, during the commute to work. But we need to pray. And we need to petition on behalf of one another. I know our lives are busy, but I love a quote that I heard. Busy is a decision. You see, we always find time for things that are truly valuable. Period. Our schedules will never be as busy as Jesus and the work that he came to do and accomplished. Busy is a decision. I think sometimes it's just more of a cop-out. And if we have so much on our plate, eliminate it. Prayer cannot be put on the sideline, and we cannot stop praying for one another. We need to take prayer seriously. When a brother or sister asks us to pray for them, we need to do that. We need to be willing to go to God in prayer. That's what Nehemiah did. Before anyone even asked him, he is going to God and he's praying. And as we think about passionate prayer, as we make petitions for one another, passionate prayer also involves praise. What Nehemiah does in chapter 1, he remembers God. He understands that God is great, that God is awesome. And he gives God glory. And the people of God would continue to do that as well. Passionate prayer, it does not guarantee everything is going to happen exactly as we want it to happen. That's not what I'm teaching. That if we just follow these steps, God will answer everything exactly the way I want it, when I want it. That's not what I'm saying at all. In fact, what it does mean, I think, with passionate prayer is that no matter how God responds, his grace will always be sufficient. Because Paul prayed 3 times. He's persistent. He's personal. He's pleading. He's trusting. And the Lord answered, "My grace is sufficient for you. I want the thorn removed." The Lord says, "My grace is sufficient. Paul, you will be able to endure it, and I will give you strength and power to do so." So we can praise God and should be praising God and giving glory and thanks to God in our prayers. It doesn't matter how he responds. He did respond to Paul. "My grace is sufficient for you." And Paul's response was trust, confidence, and praise. The question we all need to ask, will we lose heart if our prayers are not answered exactly as we want them? Can we continue to praise God and give him glory and honor and thanks, even if our prayers are not answered in a timely fashion or in the manner that we so choose they need to be? Do we feel disappointed when God's will is actually being done? "Your will be done, God." If we say that, we can't be disappointed with his will being done. It's his will, not ours. And as we think about prayer, are we only going to glorify God in times when he answers our prayers, or the way in which he answers, or the time in which he answers meets my personal approval? See, passionate prayer will help us to praise him, to trust him, and to boast in his power, however he answers. It will strengthen our walk with him. The question is, are we going to be people of prayer? My question to you, have you been engaged in passionate prayer? Have you been engaged in prayer? Or are we more engaged in passionate worry, where that seems to remain persistent and consistent? Forever going to build something that will give God glory, that will strengthen our faith, our children, it must begin with prayer. Do you agree with that? Pray without ceasing. It is time to engage even more. Before Nehemiah rallied the troops, before a brick was laid down, before swords and spears and breastplates were picked up to fight the enemies, Nehemiah was praying. I think about Jesus. Jesus gives us a template to follow. In Mark chapter 1, in verse 34 and 35, I mentioned earlier our schedules don't compare to the schedule of Jesus. Yet Jesus knew the importance of prayer. If Jesus knew this and did this, how much more should I and we be involved in prayer? And in Mark chapter 1 and verse number 34 and 35, Jesus had already performed miracles, casting out demons, healing the sick. And yet in verse 35, in the early morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went away to a secluded place and was praying there. What a great example. Young people, I always love seeing young people up front. You need to develop a habit of prayer. Jesus had certain customs. He would go to the synagogue. That was a part of his custom in Luke chapter 4 and verse 16 and 17. He would wake up early in the morning to pray. But not just for the young people, it's for both young and old alike, or I'll say vintage, all right? Not old, but we're vintage, okay? All of us need to have a habit, a custom. And I will tell you, sometimes our robot best friend, you know who our robot best friend is? Our cell phone. That's our best friend sometimes, right? We talk to he or she, we go with them, they're with us everywhere we go, and many times they get our first attention in the morning. Brothers and sisters, we need to go to God in prayer. I will confess, I have not been perfect with this either. But it is a great reminder, and I'm humbled as I think about Jesus. He's doing good work, and yet he's carving out time to pray. And Luke chapter 5 and verse 16, remember what Jesus did? Verse 15 and 16. But the news about him was spreading even farther, and large crowds were gathering to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. Good things are happening. But Jesus himself would often slip away to the wilderness and pray. That's passionate prayer. It's intentional, it's personal, it's persistent. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 12 and 13, before he appointed the 12, in Luke chapter 6 and verse 12 and 13, it was at this time that he went off to the mountain. He's going off somewhere. It's a place of solitude. It's a place of quietness to pray. And he spent the whole night in prayer to God. One of the best things that we could arise and build, and maybe this is a challenge, I've always loved challenges, the next 52 days, work on prayer. Maybe that's a great place for all of us to begin. And maybe on day one, we follow the custom of Daniel, like in Daniel chapter 6, where he would pray three times a day. Appointed time where people knew it. Maybe we start off with a minute of prayer, and then the next week we go to 2 minutes, and the next week we go to three and four, however you decide to do it. But prayer is something that we need to passionately be involved in. The early disciples did that in Acts chapter 1 and verse number 14. They're together, they are praying to God. This is what Nehemiah did. This is what all of us must be engaged in. That is how we will arise and build. Thank you for your time. I'm actually getting used to the time constraints. I still have about 10 minutes left. Let's go to God in prayer, and then maybe we can talk for a few minutes. If there's any thoughts on prayer or any suggestions or anything else maybe that you saw in Nehemiah, that can help us. Let's go to God in prayer. Father in heaven, we're thankful for this opportunity again. Thank you, Father, for men like Nehemiah, Paul, women like Hannah, and so many others that we can read about in the Bible who are people of prayer. We know, Father, that you are great and awesome, that you are always faithful, that you have demonstrated your love to us by sending your Son on the cross and allowing him to die. Forgive me and forgive us, Father, for the times that we have made excuses not to pray as much as we should. Help us, Father, never to pray for the sake of approval of men or seeking attention from others, but just to be with you and to pour our hearts out to you. We pray, Father, that you will help us to focus more upon the things that really need to be built in our lives, not our homes, our careers, but our faith, and leading our children in the paths of righteousness, and loving our wives as Christ loved the church, and our wives submitting to husbands. Help us, Father, to consider what truly matters and to take time to pray even more. We believe and have faith that you hear our prayers, even right now, and we know that the prayers of the righteous availeth much. Give us strength. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Any thoughts, any additional comments about prayer? And if not, then we'll stop a few minutes early. Love to hear your thoughts. All right. Thank you.